The following episode contains strong language, crude humor, violence, and scenes of medical horror.
Previously on Masks and Mayhem.
Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you? I just saved your life.
My apologies. I am, you can call me Glass Peacock.
We're friends of Laserhawks.
And he stares daggers at you when you say that.
We are all on the same side right now.
That remains to be seen, depending on how your good friend behaves when he arrives. Our last encounter was not civil, let's say.
I'm calling Bev.
Hey, Brock, I'm with Carl at home.
When you moved to the city, I told you to make an emergency plan just in case. Is that up to date?
I mean, we've got bags, if that's what you mean.
I need you to get anything else that you might need and get ready to get the fuck out of here.
Okay, yeah, I just filled up the tank.
Good. I've got a Union agent, and I've got Hornet coming your way. They're gonna make sure that you get out safe.
It's been a long time, Brock. And in the darkness, you just see two red eyes with yellow irises looking back at you.
Hell of a way to get my attention. What do you want, Lion?
The gas attack, Brock. They did this to us. And now we're gonna leave you for dead. But first, I suppose, there's a bunch of vermin to take care of. And perhaps even a few bugs.
What are you planning?
Good night, Brock.
Lion!
And the room is filled with ash and then suddenly is empty.
I call Pam.
Brock, it's 3 a.m. What's up?
Eyes on the back of your head. Stay alert. Danger is coming.
Ruby, when you get to Centennial, high up above in the sky, you hear shoom, shoom. The closest thing you can describe it as is what looks like a flaming meteor. And in the distance, you see that it hits an abandoned shopping mall, and it lights up in flames.
What?
I took my phone out and filmed that.
Yardak probably didn't see it from, like, in the sea, but if they're flying, Glass Peacock and Laserhawk definitely did.
I took a video of it, and then I send it to them, and I go, does this look like any of your old friends?
I fly there.
I also call 911. This is visual aid. I just saw some kind of meteor thing come down on this abandoned shopping mall. It's definitely, like, it's on fire right now.
And then, Laserhawk, you suddenly feel Ash Lion's entire body start to catch fire.
I rolled a 1. That's a 9 altogether.
So you have two options here. You let go in time to not take the full brunt of the damage, or you hold on still.
I let go.
I mean, I kind of thought we haven't even seen one of them yet.
I know.
But he immediately doesn't even give you a chance to respond and turns to ash and flies down and grabs Chain Buffalo. So it's the next morning at the Laser Hut. Yardak, you took first watch. Who did you switch off with?
Yeah, I want to say with Kit. After the fight, both Laserhawk and Ruby, like, finally got to sleep, but I'm like, I didn't want to wake them up.
Okay, so you were kind of like, there was some overlap between you and Kit, but then eventually you went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then you're all waking up the next morning. Yardak, I'm going to guess that you're not getting as much sleep as everyone else, unless the rest of y'all are letting him sleep longer.
I mean, unless I need to kick someone awake, I plan on letting people sleep.
Because I know he took the first shift, I'd be like, oh, let's just let him rest till we need him, or he wakes up on his own.
And Ruth Day, when she came, she brought herself, like, a little suitcase, so, like, she's in, just, like, t-shirt and shorts for pajamas, takes her suitcase, and she's gonna go back into, like, one of the changing areas.
Ruth Day knows who I am, right?
Yeah.
I guess I should probably keep a chart of who does and does not know.
I know, I think that's...
Lewis wakes up, goes to a table, and just brings out a laptop, and he's kind of just click-clacking away. Which is kind of what Ruth Day kind of joins him and starts doing once she gets ready for the day. Laserhawk, what are your thoughts as you're rolling out of bed?
Having time to actually sleep and process everything that's happened. Brock has woken up and he's got a couple ideas for leads he can chase, but he's itching to get back into the thick of it. Find these three assholes with the four assholes they've got with them before my city gets shit on.
All right, and then what about you, Visual Aid? What are your thoughts as you're rolling out of bed?
My first thought as I wake up is caffeine.
And what about you, Yardak?
Just stretching out from yesterday's rigorous fire outputting.
Imagine something you do sometimes is, like, you imbue some, like, bathtub full of water with your healing energy as kind of, like, just the thing to sit in.
Ooh, I like that.
Wait, Ruby watched that? What the fuck?
I'm, like, huffing and puffing. I'm not, like, actually mad, but I was like, I didn't get to fight yesterday.
Trust me, we're probably gonna find another fucking fight today.
You mean it must be a Wednesday?
It's every day.
And then Ruby, actually it is a Wednesday. You're getting a call from work.
Out of all the fucking times.
Did I know there was a job? I'm freelance right now.
Yeah, one of your one of the people that's commissioning you right now is reaching out.
Hey, this Ruby Lawson here.
Hey, Ruby, cool, glad I got a hold of you. Just checking on the status of those edits for some of the Code of the Road trailers.
They're coming along well, and I'm going to say this is true, what I'm saying. Doing some last-minute edits on them this morning. When do you want the, like, final pass-by done?
Yeah, I know that we didn't really, lay down on a specific date, but I was really, I figured I would have heard from you yesterday. Is there any way you can get those to me this morning?
Yeah, let me get on that right now then.
Fantastic. Love to hear it, just because I have people asking about them. Didn't know if something had come up, so I will tell them to expect them very soon.
Yeah, it's just dealing with life, you know.
Totally understand. I will hear from you soon with those edits. Have a good day. Goodbye.
And I would like to try and make a filmmaking check to see if I can get those done.
All right, let's make a filmmaking check.
And then I'm guessing I will ask for professional advice from Bethany since she's here. Professional critique.
Let's roll that filmmaking check.
Thank God I have a lot of filmmaking, because this would be a real fucked up thing to, like, screw up. 21 overall.
Yeah, you're able to kind of catch up with the edits. Bethany gives a quick pass over of them, but she's not really paying too much attention. Laserhawk, have you been pulling Ruby away for anything throughout the morning?
She's got shit that she needs to do. I don't have any particularly strong leads I'm chasing right now. No point in getting her fired.
Thanks, because, like, I need some money to keep up that van.
Yeah, I'll say then, if that's the case, that you didn't have anything that pulled you away, you were successful in getting those done.
Okay, so I get them, and I go, let me know if there's anything that you need changed. I was going to call him Steve. I'm going to say that's his name. Yeah, Steve, let me know anything.
And then you shoot that email off. You said you had some leads that you were thinking about chasing down, Laserhawk. What are those leads?
So I have connected as one of my advantages.
Okay.
So I was hoping that perhaps you could be kind enough to where maybe over my time in Riverside, I befriended a guy that works at, like, a local CCTV company, that maybe I could get a hold of him, see if he could take a peek at some of the cameras of, like, local warehouses and shit like that. If not that, maybe, like, someone who handles deeds for, like, warehouses and other places of interest, or not deeds, but, like a real estate guy.
Let's do a persuasion check.
12 on the dice, 21 altogether.
You call your guy Sergio that you met during one of the cases, and he's like, Laserhawk, I can take a look into that for you. You know, with everything that happened last night with those fires up in the Centennial, you know, I've had a lot of people calling me, so.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to find out about.
All right, yeah. You just hold tight. I'll try and get back to you later today. It's like I said, it's kind of crazy, but I'll look into it for you for sure.
Appreciate you, Sergio.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yardak, what have you been doing this morning? What's kind of your game plan on helping out? Or other things you might have to do?
I've been pestering the shit out of Kit because I think I can be helpful, but this is obviously not in my fucking wheelhouse. And at this point in time, I am assuming that Kit wishes his powers extended to, like, biological beings because he would just Control-Alt-Delete me.
Yardak, you're pulling me away, and I gotta concentrate. So I can do, like, all of this computer stuff, right? So what I could really use from you is if you could go and maybe run down some leads. Like, everyone's been talking about, these guys have to be, like, held up somewhere, or they gotta know somebody or talk to somebody. You guys have, like, run into those Blue Cross gang guys a bunch, right? They're all over the north end. Maybe try and run down some of them, see if you can talk to them.
I'm just gonna start snatching people off the street, like, tell me what you know!
Is this happening, like, while I'm editing?
Yes, I was gonna say, that's happening while you're editing.
Cool, then I'm sorry, I can't go with you.
With, like, the amount of time that's passed to Yardak, Kit has just been, like, the god in the sky who fixes all the problems. Then now I'm like, I gotta prove myself. So, okay, I go out in the streets and I start shaking bitches down.
All right, so you're kind of patrolling the north, then you find some of these Blue Cross guys. So, yeah, what is that your plan? Are you looking for intimidation?
Oh, yeah, I'm, like, hiding in an alleyway, and when they walk by, I just snatch them in and put them up against the wall.
Let's roll an intimidation check.
Okay, well, I'll go 13. What is my intimidation? Because I got a 13. 21.
Tell me what you say to these couple Blue Cross guys. They're a couple young guys in their early 20s. Like I said, blue bandanas, white tank tops, blue jeans. Wait, never mind. It's March. They're wearing, like, big puffy jackets.
I grab him by his early 2000s, for some reason, puffer coat that he's wearing. And then
it's all they can afford.
No, that stuff's in thrift stores right now. They could not afford it.
That's what they steal.
Yeah. Yeah. So I grab them by his oversized puffer coat and I slam his back up against the brick wall, and his head kind of knocks it a bit too. Just I'm trying to jar some sense into his criminal ass. I get real close. My spittle is hitting his chin and I'm like, you tell me every goddamn thing you know about this Ash and Chain Buffalo and whatever the fuck this other Chuckle Fox name is. I know you know something.
What? Chain who?
Buffalo, you heard me.
I don't know what that is. Is that a drug? I can look into it. Whatever you need, man, I can get it for you.
Can I roll for it to tell if he's lying?
He seems absolutely sincere. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know anything about no chain, ash, whatever. But if you tell me more about it, I'll get it for you. I'll tell you who's got it. I'll whatever you want.
No, you idiot. It's not a fucking drug. It's a person. Well, people. They're the ones causing all this mayhem. Didn't you see all those fires yesterday?
Oh, snap. That's those guys?
Yeah. Where are they?
Fuck if I know, my dude. I saw some pictures on the internet and, like, on social about them, but, like, I never met those guys. I don't really know. I guess,
What pictures did you see?
Yeah, I was on social last night and someone took some video and got some pretty good photos, like some up-close stuff of them. But I don't know them. I was just scrolling through the feed, you know?
So here's your lucky day, kid. What's going to happen is I'm about to give you my cell phone number and you're going to text me those links that you just talked about. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take those two still working legs. Remember, if you want to keep them working, you're going to take them and you're going to run back to your boss.
You're a fucking ambassador.
Not in this alleyway. I'm not.
Try to get him off the streets. Do something ambassadorial.
I wasn't even done. Yeah, you're going to go talk to your boss, and you're going to find out what he knows, and if he doesn't know, you're going to keep going up the chain, and you're going to take that information, and you're going to find it, and you're going to send it to that number that I just gave you by 8 o'clock tonight, or I will find you.
Okay. Yeah, man.
Get out of this fucking life. It's not doing you any goddamn favors.
This is probably like some fucking 18-year-old being harassed by this 200-year-old motherfucker.
And also, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Is this what you want? Do you want to spend every day thinking that somebody's going to snatch you off the street and take you into an alleyway like this? Make smarter fucking choices, Jeffrey. I've named him Jeffrey.
How'd you know my name?
I told you I know things. Fitzgerald.
Jeffrey Fitzgerald it is then. So yeah, you got a little information from this gang kid. Ruby finishes her editing. And then Laserhawk, you were able to talk to Sergio.
Yep.
Are you all heading back to the hut, or are you doing anything else?
I mean, I was at the hut, and I just gave him a buzz on my telephone.
Oh, you just called him. Oh, okay. Yeah. You and Sergio are tight. Gotcha.
Yeah.
You and Sergio sometimes go out and play poker or something.
Yeah, he gives me information. I occasionally run him a hoagie.
All right, so yeah, so you're finishing that up.
I get it at Hoagie's.
Now I gotta write that down.
It's a genie theme place with a really stretched theme.
Okay, so they all meet up back together again, back in the laser hut. What's next on your agenda?
No, I sit down and I go, I did day job shit. I'm useless here. Also, Ruby's just gonna check her calendar to make sure there's no other day job shit that she's missing out on.
You're supposed to be going to a shoot probably in like 2 days.
Yeah, the city might be destroyed by then.
Oh, you have an appointment with Dr. Bellum tomorrow.
Gonna fucking need it.
You already need it more than I do.
Yeah, well, let's see if this shit's done with by tomorrow. Long story short, I found Jack with a side of shit, so, you know, that's great.
I found Jeff with a probably side of shit now. Sent him to find some information about where we might be able to find these assholes, because he didn't know, but if he's one of those Blue Cross assholes, then I know his boss or his boss's boss or whoever the fuck, they'll know. So he's going to get back to me by 8 tonight, but in the meantime, he did send me these links that he found on social that potentially Kit might be able to use to narrow down the search a little bit.
I also send those to Bethany, just because she's really big on social, so she might know stuff.
I mean, we're at the laser hut.
By sending to Bethany, I might just go, hey, Bethany, come here.
Yeah, what's up, Ruby?
Hey, we found some links on some pictures on social.
Okay.
That seems to be the people we're looking for.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
If you could take a look at them, I know you know a lot more about this stuff than I do.
Let me take a look. And she kind of like looks at the pictures that you have, Yardak, and she kind of cross-references them. She does a little bit of search. She's like, all right, yeah. It looks like a lot of people got footage from last night, and she kind of just puts together like a quick like bunch of links, and it's just like a quick play-by-play of like, yeah, here's when the attack started, here's when the fire trucks got attacked, here's when they all went through the ceiling, one person caught Laserhawk fighting with them in the sky, and then this person caught them heading out of town.
Did they head out of town the same way they came in?
Nobody has any footage of them from when they were coming into town to really say.
Well, which way to show them leaving town? That might be a good...
Yeah, it looks like they were heading southwest towards the highway and stuff.
Okay.
Let me do a little bit more searching and I'll see what I can find for you.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. Kit says, hey, send me those links too.
And yeah, I send them to Kit as well.
And Bethany forwards what she has as well.
Yeah, I think with all the different sightings and people posting, you might be able to like triangulate some shit from that, right?
That's what I was hoping.
Brock, when you look down, you see Cafe has kind of come up to you and is kind of like just nuzzled against you.
I pet my dog. I pet my dog so good. Belly rubs, ear scratches, whole nine yards. I need this as much as she does.
A couple hours later, Kit's been doing some digging. Bethany runs up and says, I found something.
Oh, what did you find?
And she pulls up a picture. It's from the Beachline neighborhood, which is along the south coast of the city, near you guys in the north end.
I don't have the best track record in that place, but...
She pulls up the video on the big screen, and it's a person who is doing kind of a time lapse of the shore. You see the sun go down, and then you see some stuff going off over the corner, what you can assume time frame wise was the attack happening. And then right towards the end of the video, you see basically a bunch of ash kind of just flying up above the camera, like past it.
Do we think they're in that fucking invisible base?
They're definitely somewhere around here.
Well then, unless anyone plans to stop me, I'm gonna start looking around there.
No, I'm very much on board.
So where are you going, Laserhawk?
I don't know. I'm flying around, waiting to cease.
I guess I'm driving the van down there, and let's be honest, Ruby's a little worried, because last time she did that, shit exploded.
Stuff started exploding, yeah. Yardak, are you going with them, or are you doing something different?
Fuck yeah, I am. Gotta keep the team together, baby.
And so, like, what is it in particular that you're looking for, besides obviously running into them?
I mean, I guess I'm looking for any large, abandoned-looking places where they can be holed up. This sounds like it might be too nice of an area for, like, industrial stuff, but...
Beachline is very much a residential neighborhood. That was just where the camera was set up.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to patrol the north end.
Maybe, because I imagine that Brock is faster because flight is generally faster than driving a fucking van around a city. Maybe you should patrol, like, start at Beachline and just kind of, like, start going towards the north end, see if you can see anything in between those areas. They probably left in a opposite way to try and throw us off their scent.
I mean, I'm just circling the whole area until I find something.
How about you circle both areas and maybe I six on the north end, just because it's going to be harder to get the van between the two areas.
And what time is it?
It's been a couple hours, so let's say, I don't know, 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Let's have everybody roll some investigation checks.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's the second roll of the night, and it's also a 13. I feel like that is either lucky or unlucky, because 13 plus 7 is a dirty 20.
26.
I think Yardak will be better at investigate than Ruby. I'm driving. That is my, because overall it is a 16.
Yeah, I'll say that, Ruby, you really didn't notice too much. Yardak, you notice this as you're kind of circling around, and it's been a couple times. You notice just some really odd smells in certain neighborhoods.
Oh? Does it smell like shit's burning?
Kind of smelling like kind of a burning thing. You also notice like a strong smell of copper.
So blood?
But when you ask like Ruby about it, Ruby doesn't notice it at all.
Is your sense of smell maybe better than mine? I mean, you're not human, so could be.
I guess I've never, I don't exactly sniff things under the water, so it's never crossed my mind, and I thought I've smelled things like normal.
I was just going to ask, that you saying roll an investigation, was I included in that?
Yeah, as you're kind of flying around, you know, you're noticing a bunch of buildings, not enough in particular to narrow things, that there are buildings that have like some ash residue on them, and that clearly are not like recently burned buildings.
I guess I'm going to look for where there is a larger accumulation for where this asshole is taking off and landing.
I would say, I think Ruby's going to start, I said, tell me where, like, the smell is stronger, and I'll start driving that way.
Oh, I guess I'll also use my little comm links to let my friends know the radius that we're looking within.
Okay. Does that radius match the smell?
Close to it.
Yeah, Yardak said he smelled like burning and copper. Burning definitely matches with the ash. I'm not sure what we think the copper is.
So you said you're going to fly to like an accumulation of the ash itself.
I mean, yeah, I'm just looking for whatever. I've got an idea of where to look around now.
And you find yourself led towards one just seems very dense, possibly multiple landings.
I zip on down to...
Yeah, it's basically a little alleyway. You see that ash on both sides of the alleyway. It seems to just be like kind of a dumpster and some trash lying around.
Well, something's hidden here. I'm gonna investigate it.
All right, let's do a perception check.
Ah, they're both plus 10, so I guess it really doesn't matter. Dirty 20.
What you notice, there's like a little electrical circuit box, like one of the ones that's like, you know, along the side of a building, that one has like a deep concentration of it around it. So when you approach the box, you open it up, and you know from your training that you only have a few moments to react.
Oh?
Because what is attached to this box looks to be an armed IED. And what you see written above inside this box is Hybrok.
Hey out there, Rachel here for this week's little ad break while RC works on the editing. So we've had a bit of a delay due to RC having some family stuff to deal with, as well as preparing to move. If you haven't seen, we started posting and updating a monthly calendar on our website for episode releases, as well as things like articles and streams. That's the best way to keep up to date with what we're doing. Also on that calendar is our Ko-Fi releases. Ko-Fi is a space where you can send us one-time tips, as well as monthly memberships. Those memberships include an increasing array of different content, including GM notes, character playlists, bloopers, and more. So check out ko-fi.com/mayhemcast and help support our show. But for now, let's get back to the game.
Roll a technology check.
That's a natural 20 for a 30 altogether. See you later, haters.
You're able to react in time to do a quick dismantling of this thing and unarm it.
Yeah.
Damn, son. Get dismantled on.
You know, it's definitely a tense situation where you were just like, oh shit, and you like had to like use your lasers to like try to cut the wires.
Find a nickel for every time I've had to disarm a bomb in this city. I only have 10 cents, but it's exhausting that it's happened twice. Is there anything fancy about it, or was it just a trap?
Yeah, like you recognize the handiwork, like this is the kind of stuff that you guys were taught how to make.
Cool, well, I fly off and go fuck myself elsewhere.
Are you gonna tell us about that?
Hi, fucking almost got hit with a trap.
Oh my god, are you okay?
Yep, fine. Let's kill these fucking assholes.
That's fair.
And let's have Yardak roll another investigation check.
Okay. Well, that is a 5 on the dice, 11 altogether.
Could I also try and roll investigation or perception?
I'll let you roll investigation. The thing is that, like, Yardak has this, like, trail that he was trying to follow, but he's lost it now.
Well, I figured maybe I could fucking find something. I rolled better this time, at least. 21 overall.
You notice a bunch of the Blue Cross gang members as you're kind of driving around. You notice that, you know, you kind of got a general sense of where they tend to hang out. And you notice that they are definitely that area, that radius that Brock's talking about. You know, you're noticing that they're kind of steering clear of that.
Do I see any of them?
You see them, like, on the edge of that territory, basically. Like, kind of a couple of them, like, hanging out at a stoop.
I want to pull into some alley where no one is. Make myself up to look like a random person who would be, like, associated with the Blue Cross gang.
Ah, a prostitute.
What did you say?
Brandon tried to say I was participating in sex work.
No, I said you were trying to look like you participated in sex work.
We'll say that you just basically make yourself like a rougher looking jacket and you look like someone who probably buys drugs from them.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, you look like a college kid who comes to this area to buy drugs from them.
Yeah. Go up and I go, what's going on? Why is no one in the normal area? And I guess, should I roll like...
Oh, you're definitely rolling a deception check on this.
All right. Can I use my hero point to reroll?
Of course.
I rolled a 3, so...
Oof.
Well, thank fucking God that makes it go up. I rolled a fucking 4.
Jesus.
All right, so that's a 14 on the die.
But if I use my hero point to reroll, I get...
Right, so you said you got 4, right?
Plus you still get your modifiers and shit.
Oh, plus, sorry, because that my modifier was 10, so I got confused.
Oh, gotcha. So 24 total then. Yeah, this guy's kind of like, can we help you, I guess?
I usually come down here to get some stuff to help me study, but... None of my usual people are in the right places.
Yeah, there's been some territory changes. We're not really going over there anymore, but you come here, we get you taken care of.
Good to know. Okay, why are there territory changes? I don't want to accidentally, like, what's going on? I don't want to accidentally, like, stumble into the wrong area. I know that can get you in a whole bunch of trouble.
Hey, listen, you, like I said, you come here, we get you taken care of. You don't want to go over there. Just trust me, there's nothing good over there. Nobody has what you need to study. My contacts told me not to go over there. I'm not going over there. We got your product here.
Let me go get what I need to give you to get what I need from you.
Totally understand. We'll be right here.
And I stumble away. I, like, go around so they don't see the exact alley I go in.
Even though they were definitely paying attention as you left.
Oh.
Well, that's why I said I have to go, like, get cash to explain why I wasn't fucking buying drugs
right
there. I think
I see my favorite staring at your ass.
Oh. Well, Ruby's hot.
So you got that information, you took that back to the group, I assume.
Yeah, and actually they're avoiding their normal area. I'm assuming someone's got to have taken it over, right?
Yeah, I wonder who that could have been.
Yeah, a new Lunar Lattes must be coming in.
Someone go fire a gunshot to keep the rent prices down. So by the time you get back to the van, you kind of relay that, you get a call from Kit. Hey, can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
I think I found something. So, you guys kind of, I've been kind of tracking your location, sorry, but I kind of noticed, like, where you've been patrolling.
Don't you, I mean, you have a tracker of the van, I knew that.
Yeah, sure, the van, that's how I'm doing it.
We will discuss this later.
Yeah, I was tracking the area, and I kind of looked into it, because I know we were talking about land stuff. I found a couple different warehouses, it looks like 3 of them. In that same area that have all been purchased fairly recently, and 2 of them were purchased with cash.
What are they, fucking stealing Brock's MO?
I say, if 2 of them were paid cash, those feel like the most obvious ones to start with. I'll take one, you guys take another. If both of those come out moot, we meet at the 3rd.
Well, if the other one wasn't paid cash, can we, like, track who bought it then?
Well, that's the thing. I've been looking into that, but they definitely have kind of a shell corporation thing going on, so that's why that someone's not out of the listing either.
That's shady.
Keep pulling that thread. I'm sure you'll eventually come to the end of it. We'll look at the other 2 in the meantime.
All right, Brock. Sounds good. Data cracking out.
All right. Well, I'll pick the one on the left if you take the one to the right.
Works for me.
And I fly to the left, to the left.
Let's do the folks in the van first.
First, I just kind of get out, and I want to see if I can roll a perception or an investigation to see if I can see anything shady.
Okay, yeah. Yardak, what are you doing when you get out?
I want to hit another investigation check to, like, I keep wanting to reference a fucking dog because of the sniffing, but, like, to...
Now that you're in this neighborhood, you've definitely been smelling the stronger copper smell and the ash smell.
Can I roll... Which should I roll, perception or investigation?
What are you trying to do specifically?
Basically just see what the fuck's happening around here.
All right, I'll let you do perception for that then.
Yeah, and then I wanted to do just a straight up investigation check because if I'm like, oh, okay, it's around here, I want to like narrow my focus and investigate.
Okay.
25.
23.
Yes, this neighborhood does not have any gangs patrolling in it. Feels almost kind of vacant. You know, there's some like people driving through and stuff, but it's not as lively as you'd expect it for this time of day. And then you also notice when you stare really closely, you can see kind of the same ash marks that Laserhawk's been referring to on the front gate, which is a tall barbed wire chain link fence. And you see some on the doorway going in as well.
I'm guessing this warehouse doesn't have any windows, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of like glass windows. Most of them look boarded up, though.
There's no way to see into this warehouse.
No, because again, you're behind a barbed wire chain link fence.
Yeah.
And then Yardak, okay, yeah, you kind of take notice of mostly the same things then.
I want to try something. I'm going to say the van's pulled up somewhere. I'm going to go behind the van.
Okay.
And I want to create just an illusion of a cop car going by with its sirens on, just to see if anyone around here reacts.
Gotcha. I mean, you definitely notice some reactions as it goes by. Woo, woo, woo. Like a couple heads pop up, a couple people like fold in on their jackets a little bit.
Like, they're not Blue Cross members, right?
Not as far as you can tell. They don't look to have any kind of particular gang affiliation with them, if that's what you mean.
I'm gonna call Laserhawk and tell him, I was like, I think something might be going on here. There's definitely ash around. There's boarded up windows. The Blue Cross gang is just, like, not here, which is weird.
See if you can take a peek inside the place. I'm gonna look around the one I'm at right now. Anything exciting happens, you let me know. It'll go both ways.
Is there a way for me to take a peek inside without actually having to go in?
I'm going to send a shardling in puddle form to Wibbly Wobbly.
Yardak sits down, crosses his legs, and he closes his eyes, and he's seeing through the eyes of the shardling. Ruby, what are you doing while Yardak is unavailable?
Looking around to see if I can see anyone that I maybe could ask if they have seen anything weird.
Yeah, you see, like, a couple kids that look like they might have just gotten home from school recently, kind of just hanging out on a porch. Meanwhile, what you're seeing, Yardak, as the shardling goes beneath the chain link fence, and then, slips in through the doorway. It's a very dark warehouse, you know, there's still some light coming in through the windows and stuff, but most of them, as I mentioned, are boarded up. What stands out the most as it goes through this area is the main warehouse, a lot of dusty machines and just stuff that's kind of been unused for a long time. And then you also notice that there are some almost brand new looking crates kind of positioned near the center.
Are these crates metal? Are they wooden?
Like solid steel, sealed. Visual aid, what were you going to do?
I was going to go up to these youths. Hey guys, would you mind if I ask you a couple questions?
We didn't do nothing.
No, I just was wondering. I just noticed there's just not a lot of people around here right now. Do you know where everyone went? I know you didn't do anything, and I put my hand in my pocket, and I make some candy.
Well, this ain't sus.
Specifically make it sealed candy. They don't know that I made it. Actually, they might. It's visual aid. But
yeah, I just, I don't know. All the adults kind of have made themselves scarce. You know, my mom says that we're fine to play out here on the porch. Should I go inside?
I think you're fine. Anything weird going on at that warehouse? I thought I saw people go in, but I didn't think anyone worked there.
No one goes in during the day.
Do they go in at night?
Sometimes.
Have they always gone in at night?
I mean, not always, no. It's recently when all the adults stopped coming around with the blue bandanas.
I was like, yeah, just it seemed weird to me. Like, why would you want to go into a stinky old building like that at night?
Oh, well, they had some big boxes, so they probably keep stuff in there.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you, and I give them some more candy.
And what kind of candy is it? We can't escape an episode without the discussion of food.
Equivalent of, like, Hershey's bars. I'm trying to stick to something that doesn't have things people would usually be allergic to. Thanks, kids. Have fun playing.
And you get back over right as about Yardak has finished up that vision from the Sharling.
I talked to those kids over there. They said people have been coming into there at night with some boxes.
Yeah, what I saw was there was a couple solid metal crates that are in there. And I don't know what they hold, but if everybody's abandoned this area and they're using it as their little stockhold, it can't be fucking good.
I was saying, I think that's the point where we're going to jump back over to Laserhawk.
Okay.
All right, Laserhawk, what are you doing as you approach this warehouse? It's a very similar warehouse to the other one in terms of it being like mostly boarded up, chain link fence surrounding it.
I think I'm going to roll a stealth check and infiltrate this building.
Okay.
26.
And so how are you trying to sneak in?
I mean, if I am flying in, then I'm going to try and find some kind of roof access, or if there's like a window that's busted out enough to where I can get through it, or if I'm coming from above and I'm looking to get in from above.
You land on the roof and you kind of just jimmy the lock of the door, the top entrance hatch.
Hell yeah, get jimmied, scrub lord, I'm fucking ripped.
You're inside the warehouse.
I am going to look around this warehouse then with my beautiful hawk eyes.
You would describe it pretty similarly to what I was saying earlier, like you see a lot of abandoned equipment, big heavy machinery and such. This was clearly some kind of factory. And then you see an area that has specifically been cleaned up, and then these giant kind of crates are sitting on top of it. You wouldn't know this, but these are bigger crates than the ones that Yardak saw.
Oh boy, what big, beautiful crates. Be a shame if someone opened it with their laser powers.
There was already a fucking bomb once, dude.
Oh, don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting this to end well for me.
They are literally expecting you, my dude.
Presumably they have some kind of big metal locks on them. I'm gonna turn my hands into, like, laser hands, try to grab the lock, melt it a little bit, and then, like, rip the motherfucker off so I can open this thing.
That there are five of these crates. We'll say they're kind of just lined up in a row. Which one are you opening?
I take the one smack dab in the middle.
All right, you melt this down, clink, and it comes off. What do you do next?
I open it.
Inside, in a kneeling position, is the Midnight Hydra. And he is tied up, his hands have some power dampening cuffs on them, and he has what looks to be a blindfold on, but he is wearing his costume.
Is he, like, out, or is he win it?
When you open the door, he goes, "Huh, huh, where are you motherfuckers?"
Different motherfucker.
And he, like, backs up and, like, kind of goes against the back of the crate.
I would like to roll a persuasion check, because this arc is about Brock growing as a person.
You're fucking working with them?
Oh, you're kidding me. I just rolled a nat 20 on that.
Yeah! Nat 20 for personal growth!
on a persuasion, that's 29 altogether.
29? What are you doing? Like, what are you persuading to do?
Opposite way. We have similar enemies here. I get you out of those cuffs. I need a guarantee that you're not gonna try and immediately attack me. I'm not happy about this either, Tango.
This doesn't make us friends again.
You're fucking right it doesn't. But the enemy of my enemy.
And I grab the cuffs.
So do we have an agreement?
Yes. Bang! And the cuffs bust apart, and they power down. You hear, and he tears them off of his wrist. And he reaches up, he pulls off the blindfold, and...
Do you need a minute, or can you help me?
Yeah, give me a second. I've got to get my bearings. And he puts his hands up, like, clearly not used to the light right now. He's, like, recalibrating.
Take the time you need. I'll get these two open.
Okay, so which one are you opening next?
I move to the right and just go for the next one down.
Boom.
Actually, as I'm opening the second one, I guess I should get on the comms.
Yeah, I would love to know what's going on. For when?
I found Hydra. I think I might have the rest of them here.
Oh, damn. Were they being held there? Where?
Big-ass metal crates. There's five of them here.
There's metal crates here, too.
Fascinating.
And Yardak, I'll say that you only notice two metal crates, but they're in yours.
How big would you say yours are?
big enough to fit a person in. You've seen how damn big Hydra is. He was knelt down, but still big enough to fit a person.
Yardak, with the ones you saw, do you think it was big enough for a person?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, let's see if we can get in and get them open, see what's in there. Yardak, do you know how to use a lockpicking kit?
Nope, but I can sure as shit try to freeze it off.
Where's Peacock?
You left him back at the hut.
Fuck, we should have made him look at the last place.
You crack the next one open, and inside, sitting in a kneeling position, depowered, is Crystal Tiger.
I give her the exact same spiel that I gave Hydra, presumably with him there to back me on it.
We'll say that you're able to do that. And then Hydra, on his end, gets out Acid Armadillo, and then lastly is on your side is Vapor Kappa.
Well, you said there were 5 boxes.
And then the 5th one is empty.
Oh, fascinating. A little anticlimactic.
I assume that 5th one was for Peacock at some point.
Well, none of these dickheads can, like, fly, so,
Midnight Hydra can. He's definitely been able to, like, turn into, like, kind of a neon cloud before. That's how he got away the first time you all fought him and you guys caught Crystal Tiger.
So, yeah, anyway, I guess we're back to ordering the world's most awkward vroom.
You need a vroom XL, actually?
You all have ways to transport yourself, I'd say. You can fly, Crystal Tiger can leap, Acid Armadillo folds up into a little roly ball and...
Love that.
Are we all gonna have to, like, take them back to your place?
Yeah, this is about to really fucking suck. Anyways, I'm gonna say let's jump over to Ruby and Yardak to see if they can open these cases.
How about you freeze them, and I'm gonna sit here ready to throw them in another box in case they are not friendly.
And how are you getting in? You guys never really specified that.
Oh, fucking valid.
Okay, so I'm going to try to do this stealthily. Should I roll a stealth check for that?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I put a bunch in stealth. 22 overall.
If she's going to stealth, I'm not going to fuck up her shit. Dirty 20.
Nice.
Okay, and you guys make your way in through the chain link fence.
And actually, I'm going to make a box in the chain link fence so it just kind of gets rid of the links that are there and then make it go away again so we can just walk on through.
So you go in through the chain link fence. How are you getting through the door? It's like a standard metal door.
I guess you want to see if you can freeze this one, or I can see if one of these swords can do a little slicey-slicey?
Por qué no los dos? I freeze, you slice.
I'm not going to make you roll for that. Just describe it to me.
I take the lock in my hands. And then have just a little bit of water go right into the little lock hole and then freeze it from the inside out.
I'm going to just go slash and then, like, just kick the door open.
I'll say the one thing you notice shortly after getting inside is you notice that there is, like, a little box on the wall. And you see a little blinking red light.
Uh-oh.
I would, like, make it look like it's completely black in this room. Specifically for that camera. So maybe put, like, an illusion just, like...
Like a ball of darkness around the camera.
I'm assuming it's a camera. I guess we'll try to open one of these boxes. Since we know there might be people in them, I want to try and knock on one.
You don't hear anything back.
Okay, I don't hear anything. Maybe there's no one in here, but we gotta figure out if there is.
Okay, so you freeze it, and then what are you doing?
Stepping back and letting her take a big old swing at it.
Swing with the sword, swish.
All right, the lock cracks to the ground. What do you do?
I'm going to tell Ruby to open it, and as she does that, I'm going to weave the water around my hands and make ice fists. I just want to knock a motherfucker out, depending on who it is.
That's fair. I open the box.
Laserhawk, it's 2004, and you're back in the Middle East. As you're seeing all your friends coming out of these boxes, the first time you've seen them gather together in a while and potentially on your side, you're taken back to this moment in time, the last time that you all fought side by side. And it's just been a harrowing battle with Chain Buffalo and Blood Vulture and Ash Lion. And there's blood just bleeding, dripping down your face, and you're disoriented from the last blow that Lion just hit you with, that you only narrowly escaped. He's advancing on you. What do you do?
In this moment, I am desperate. I am heaving. I recognize that there is... only one thing in my arsenal that might even stand a chance. I've only used this, like, once, and it almost killed me, but it's this giant missile-like attack. I don't know. So I guess I'm gonna hit it with that.
All right, and you launch off this attack, and Ash Lion is blown back, hits a wall, crashes through it, and you see there's a lot of spilled kerosene everywhere. You see a load of C4 that Kappa was able to get kind of set up into this building as you're trying to basically build this kill box. And you're falling to your knees from the weight of this megasonic missile you just let out. And suddenly you see Ash Lion stand back up. And he is just flaming. And he looks hurt, but he is not downed. I think in your desperation, you're going to try to crawl away.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I'm just trying to get out of there, hoping that this idiot doesn't notice how much kerosene we've been able to pour around here.
And as he's advancing on you, he's about halfway through the room, kind of dead center in the middle of the room, when suddenly from the ceiling, you see as your friend Medic Mouse lands on the back of this guy and jams a knife straight into the side of his head.
Oh.
And Lion roars. You hear Mouse say, "Blow it! Blow it!
Mouse, what the fuck are you doing?"
And Lion is roaring, and he's reaching back, and he's got Mouse by the scruff with one hand, and he reaches back with his other hand and puts a big meaty hand around his head as Mouse just yells, "No!
Fuck!" And I blow it.
And you don't see the results because you are immediately blown out that front door of the building, landing so far away as this giant near mushroom cloud of explosion goes up in the air before you pass out.
This intel drop is brought to you by Pope Brandon Brownson's latest album, Always Forward. Prior to its fall many millennia ago, Atlantis was among the most advanced and powerful nations on Earth. Their technology allowed them to ascend to cure disease and extend life. This was thanks to a deposit of Poseidium that was discovered just off their shores. Mining allowed them to unleash its energy, but that energy is what eventually drew them into conflict. The Deltar are demons that thrive using chaos magic. They were drawn towards Atlantis due to the energy output of the Poseidium. They were able to use their magic to start infighting within Atlantis, which weakened the once great community. Eventually, they sprang to attack Atlantis, focusing on the bedrock beneath it, which was already weakened by the years of mining. Many in the Atlantean military fought back, holding back the Deltar for nearly a month. But as the fear and chaos grew, so did the power of their enemies. Eventually, the Deltar prepared to make a strike to wipe out the remaining bedrock and sink Atlantis. At the last minute, Atyr Ulin, a cosmic being that had watched and supported Atlantis as it grew, intervened. Using great cosmic power, which was able to magnify and refract through the Poseidium, Atlantis was covered in energy, converting their bodies and organs to adapt to the ocean below as it sank. This also imbued them with water-controlling abilities, but it would take many years to learn to truly harness this power. Much of their technology was lost during the fall. While some were able to be adapted to work underwater using the magical energy that protected them, in many ways they were starting from scratch. Only through a combination of the Atlantean royalty and military, along with groups like the Prime Church of the Tidal Wave and the Sisterhood of Braum, would they grow to be the Atlantis that is known in the modern day. This intel drop is brought to you by Pope Brandon Brownson's latest album, Always Forward. Want a chilled out lo-fi EP, perfect for cozy days and long nights? Check it out on Spotify, link in the show notes.
Inside that box, Ruby and Yardak, you don't know what to make of this, but you have no idea who this is.
Oh.
You see the shriveled form of a middle-aged woman hooked up to some kind of EKG machine, and you hear a shh, and you can see some kind of breathing apparatus hooked up to it.
Huh.
Okay, not what I was expecting.
Same. I just go into the comms and I go, "Laserhawk?"
Honey.
We've only opened one so far, but there's a woman hooked up to life support.
Fascinating.
I take a picture and send it to Laserhawk.
Does it ring a bell?
You see this picture, and you recognize what your friend Mouse looks like, even after all these years.
Holy shit.
Do you know them?
We will be right there.
Okay, I'm gonna open the other box and see if any more blasts from your past are in there.
Give us however long it takes us to get there. Let me know as soon as you get that last bunker open.
Okay, and I guess we go to open the other one.
Yeah, and same thing, there's no resistance. When you open this one up, what there are is giant tanks of some kind of greenish-yellow liquid.
no one in there in this one, but I feel like we might have found the thing that made you a superhero.
Don't.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Box it up. Stay away from it until we can properly look at it.
I close the door and put a fucking wall in front of it.
Let's say, someone's got this on social, but the whole Midnight Gang plus Laserhawk just flew across the north end.
Can I want to hear Kit's reaction to that popping up on social?
I mean, yeah, I guess if Kit hasn't fucking sent anything, I'll make a point to call him.
Hey, Brock, how's the things turning out with those buildings?
Brother. So I've got the whole Midnight Gang.
Oh.
And Mouse is alive.
What?
I'm on my way to her right now. She's hooked up to some kind of life support system. I don't know. Everyone we found is in a crate.
Yeah, we haven't even checked the third building yet. But I'm going to say I took a picture of the stuff that was in the second box. And I go, this was in the second box that we found.
Brock, Kit is just like audibly moved. And he's like, get her out of there. Get her out of there, Brock.
I'm on my way now.
And when you see the picture, you immediately recognize this liquid because the texture look of it and the color is so unique. This is what would come out of Medic Mouse's palms when she would heal people.
Oh, that's Mouse's healing goo.
Healing goo.
We never came up with a good name for that. I tried calling it the cheese for a while, but she fucking loathed that.
She was right too, Brock.
I don't know. She's hooked up to that. Try gooing her, maybe.
So it is in these giant, like, sealed canisters.
Wait, before we try that, I don't know how to open that. Why don't we just try to have the Atlantean with us try and heal her?
Ah, right, that's a good idea. Let me roll a little healy-poo. Yeah, 11 plus 10, 21.
You see some color come back to her, but you can tell just from your limited experience that you've never worked with someone who is so far gone.
Oh.
Who is so desperately being forced to cling to life.
How have they kept her alive? They're just keeping her alive for her abilities, aren't they?
Okay, I'll finally say they're milking her dry like a cow.
On that note, how fucking close am I to this dying bitch?
Yeah, you're pretty much there now. Ruby, I'm gonna say you lost concentration, so when they walk in, they also see the blinking light.
The fuck is that?
Oh shit, I must have... Sorry, I tried to cover it. I don't know.
Great. I'll be looking at that immediately.
If you're getting a closer look at it, you know it's a motion trip alarm.
Oh, we need to get the fuck out of here.
The Midnight Gang is also looking on Mouse in horror.
Yeah, and I just kind of turn. I just, like, all these people I'm used to fighting, I just go, hello.
And this one little monstrous looking guy goes, hi.
Oh, the fuck?
You guys are strong. Can you help us get her out of here?
And Midnight Hydra wordlessly just nods his head and he goes.
And I go, my van... Right across the street, I can put this, it seems like the best, it's not like we have an ambulance or anything like that, it seems like the best way to move her right now.
And he points to Crystal and points at, like, the respirator and, like, the other devices, and Midnight Hydra picks up the bed, like, just the full bed itself.
Full bed with her on it.
With her on it, and Crystal Tiger grabs the machine so they can move together.
I guess I could try to make, like, a gurney for them?
Midnight Hydra looks at you and goes, no, we gotta keep her hooked up. The fact that they have this on a battery system is a blessing in disguise.
And then should we grab some of that stuff? Oh, I don't know what it's called, and I'm not gonna call it what...
A vapor cap goes, is that the healing goo?
Let's focus on getting her in the van first. I might have to put down some seats and stuff.
Okay, yeah, you run to the van, you start doing that. Yarnak, what are you doing?
Heal her as much as I can while we're waiting.
And I'm gonna turn to Brock and go, are we going to the first hut or the second right now? It's up to you.
While they're getting, Mouse loaded up, I want to give Kevin Lewis a call to see if maybe he has access to a more suitable medical facility for Medic Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Since this might be a bit beyond Riverside General Hospital.
Take her back to Echo Base.
Ruby, Echo Base.
Is anyone coming with me? How many seats do I have left? Do I just have one passenger seat?
If it's you and Yardak, you can fit like one more person.
Like, one more person can come with me.
I turn to the Midnights. One of you should go with them. The rest of you, come with me. We got one more warehouse to investigate.
Just be careful out there.
Midnight Hydra says, I'm going with them.
All right. Rest of you, on me.
So I were dragging and I go, should I call you Midnight Hydra Tango?
Hydra feels appropriate right now.
Do you want to listen to some music?
Put whatever the fuck you want on. And he basically hasn't taken his eyes off of Medic Mouse since you guys started driving.
I put on a playlist that's similar to a playlist Rachel. It's like chill but fun. It's just a lot of more chill songs and kind of put it on low.
Lo-fi hip-hop pieces setting and relax too.
Over the comms, you hear, "Hello, Laserhawk. I heard that you have the rest of the gang. Should I come to you?"
"Might as well. Lord knows we're gonna need the backup, knowing Marlock."
"Oh yes, darling. I'll be right there."
Does someone want to tell him who else we found?
Yeah, I did hear. That's why I want to be there.
Come get with the platoon, then.
And I go. Just for the record, we're bringing her to a more medical location.
Just get her as far away from this as you can.
That's the plan.
Louis says Echo Base is safe. I trust him on that one.
And Ruby, what you notice not long after is the vroom vroom as you see Louis on Rickard's motorcycle, like kind of trailing behind you in the van.
I give Louis a call while he's on there.
And it's hard to hear him over the rumble of the vroom 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 vroom.
And I go, well, the sound, I just wanted to double check that was you tailing me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on my way. Second I got off the phone with you, I loaded up. I figured you would want a little bit of a backup.
After, you know, the stunt they pulled with calling the 911 to get even more vehicles out there, I'm a little wary of these guys.
You made the right call, Visual.
By the way, most of them are going to check out the third location, and I got Yardak and Midnight Hydra with me, along with her.
I say, am I on speakerphone?
I was like, yes, because I'm driving, and the last thing I need to do right now is be pulled over for putting a phone up to my...
All right, I'll talk to you when we get there. All right, and then what does it look like when Laserhawk, Acid Armadillo, Crystal Tiger, Vapor Kappa, and Glass Peacock all take off?
I imagine that Immigrant Song is playing over this scene.
Can Immigrant Song also be playing over my driving up?
That's the montage song. It's playing in your van, but it's also like the montage song.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely... I forget my fucking chill playlist. I put Immigrant Song on it.
And we montage our way over.
Vapor Kappa is riding on the back of Crystal Tiger with his sword out as she like runs and leaps across the city. Laserhawk, you shoom and fly off. Glass Peacock extends his wings and extends some of his glass shards out of his hand as he begins flapping and takes off as well.
At some point in this montage, they also cut to like Brock's family with Pam and Rickard. Just like in a car, like staring off into the distance.
It also cuts to Jack looking worried.
Oh, remember, they were at a safe house, so you see Carl and Rickard playing some cards, and then you see Acid Armadillo roll up and then take off to catch up with the rest of y'all.
Chapter 79, The Midnight Wars, Part 4.
Masks of Mayhem uses the game Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition by our friends at Green Ronin Publishing. Check the link in the show notes to get your own copy of the game. You can also support us by making a one-time donation or becoming a monthly member through our Ko-Fi. That's at ko-fi.com/mayhemcast. You can also check out Pope Brandon Brownson's latest album, Always Forward, on Spotify. This episode was written, produced, and forced into a relevant flashback by R.C. Byler with production assistance by Brandon Brownson. Our logo art is by Jen Evans, and our font is by A.J. Eason. Our theme music is by Pope Brandon Brownson. Additional social media links, blog posts, and episodes can be found on our website at masksandmayhem.com.
Four? How many parts are there going
to
be?
Damn. I didn't expect me opening a box to lead to a trauma flashback for Brock.
This whole season has been a trauma flashback for Brock.
You know, this whole time I've been sitting here waiting for one of my friends to croak. The last thing I was expecting was one of my friends to uncroak.
Did you also like how I covered, first off, how Medic Mouse died?
Yeah, that flashback scene was really fucking cool. I was not expecting that at all, but it made perfect sense in the moment.
Archie, am I right? They're keeping her alive to get her healing juice, right?
That's what the post-episode after the arc is all over is for. And that's if it's deemed not, like, anything that Arcee can use to fuck us later. Arcee, did you manage to get any extra prepping between when you said that you had very little prepared for this and when we met up?
I wrote, the only thing I had a chance to write down was potential areas where you guys could get stuff, one of which was CCTV footage.
Amazing.
The other one was gang contacts and then unusual smells and stuff around town. And land stuff. You guys already kind of beat me to that.
Shaking down Jeffrey Fitzgerald.
Yeah, pretty much everything besides what I just said, pretty much off the dome.
Well,
other than knowing I wanted to get that flashback in and make the Medic Mouse reveal. Originally, I was going to try and end with the Medic Mouse reveal, but we had kind of gotten there early.
Yeah, I have to commend you for how much you were able to pull out of your ass. As I mentioned earlier today, I believed in your abilities to improv your ass off, and you did not let me down.
Yeah, the episode's ending a little early, but I figured this was a good point.
Did you, like, arrange it specifically so, like, we would discover Medic Mouse instead of Brandon?
I wasn't 100% on that.
I think it made sense that I wound up picking up the Midnights and you guys.
Yeah, that was a game time call.
If Ruby found the Midnight Gang, she would close the box and be like, Brock, you need to come. Like,
Ruby would call an adult.
One way or the other, I'd have been rushing off, and it's just been a hell of a lot more complicated rushing off with a whole fucking almost dead woman in a box.
Yeah. It was very convenient she was near the van, let's be honest.
Lightning round, final thoughts, Dan.
It reminded me it was very like X-Men 2E. With, like, the whole, how they were using the, one mutant who would, like, take everybody's powers and, like, basically using him as, like, their fucking milking cow, but with, Mouse. But yeah, but it was very sci-fi channel movie, like.
But I would say I liked, Ruby having to deal with, like, her actual life in the middle of all this shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just thought about it, I was like, Ruby can't just, I would say, you might be freelance, but you still have to, like, be working in order to make money. I'll say, I had some plans, too, if you fucking whiffed that role.
There's a reason I have a lot in filmmaking. Absolutely not. I will not let you tank my fucking career.
I wouldn't be tanking your career. The dice would tank your career.
I won't let you tank my career, God.
All right, and then final thoughts, Rachel.
This was really cool, and I love that we're, like, having to gang up with our enemies. That's some cool superhero shit.
I'll say one of my favorite tropes is ganging up with previous enemy to defeat newer, bigger enemy.
Yeah, speaking of X-Men, this is like really some like Magneto Xavier shit.
And then final thoughts, Brandon.
Boy, I hope this last warehouse has a box that contains Anthony.
I think he's a little too far gone, buddy.
The only box that contains Anthony is 6 feet underground.
I thought that Medic Mouse was pretty fucking far gone too, yet here she is.
I'll say, a lot of that was that you never told me specifically how Medic Mouse died, so that's why I also tied it in.
I never told you specifically how Anthony died.
I would ask if you had him cremated, but that doesn't fucking matter in this fucking universe, Arcee.